Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Nooshigak saw a big jump in its daily counts yesterday. The Wood River Tower started counting today, while the Kings are just starting to hit. And Igigik's counting tower went up today as well. Port Muller Test Fishery wasn't out on the water, but they hope to get enough fish today to start running stock compositions. It's Wednesday, June 17th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross.
Gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Coming up tonight, China has stopped imports from European salmon suppliers due to fears of a connection between salmon imports and coronavirus, according to a report by Reuters. Several fisheries organizations are pushing back against those reports, saying there is no evidence that coronavirus can be transmitted via fish. Now, fish marketing experts are assessing how the rumors could affect Alaska salmon's image in the world.
You know, I think we'll have to wait and see to what extent this, you know, if this impacts market demand outside of China.
Last year, Bristol Bay hit record high temperatures, but this summer, the bay probably won't get as steamy. A climate specialist walks through the shift.
Ocean temperatures in Bristol Bay are significantly cooler than last year.
Like everyone else, halibut fishermen in Bristol Bay had to deal with COVID-19 restrictions this season. We hear what people did ahead of going out on the water.
We all get together in the galley. We all have our own thermometers, and we take our temperatures, and it does give you a little peace of mind. It's given us a lot of time to visit.
We also hear how that fishery is shaping up as people gear up for salmon. Those conversations more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
First, we're going to take a look at the numbers. There are no daily run summaries yet. The Nooshigak sonar crew counted 4,500 fish on June 16th. That's a big increase from the previous daily counts. The cumulative unapportioned count is now at 17,400. The crew needs to catch 5 fish in each strata, inshore and offshore on each side of the river, to apportion the counts. According to biologist Tim Sands, the sockeye and chum tend to stay in the inshore strata. In an email update, he said, "The fact that we can't apportion the count yet is another indication of how few king salmon are going by." Strong winds in Dillingham today may move some kings up the Nooshigak, which Sands expects to see tonight or tomorrow morning. The Wood River Tower is counting. As of 8:30 a.m., the crew had counted 372 fish. On June 15th, that's Monday, 1,467 sockeye passed the Chignik River Weir, bringing the total run so far to 8,700. That is about 4,000 below last year's run at this point in the season, though it is a bit above the 2018 run. In 2018, the run at this point was at 5,600. Over in Area M, the total sockeye harvest for the South Peninsula is at 89,200. The Chinook run is just under 2,000. The coho harvest remains at 226. Pinks are at 803,760, and the chum harvest is at 153,955. Let's go now to the Port Muller test fishery. No numbers from yesterday. The Ocean Cat was in port doing some repairs, which coincided with unfishable weather conditions. The Ocean Cat is trying to get enough fish done to reach a total fish sample size of 190, which is necessary for them to consider any stock composition estimates. In an email update, technician Michael Link said, "Should today be unfishable, we might try a similar strategy the following day." That's tomorrow. We'll see. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
Three new cases of COVID-19 were announced today in the Bristol Bay Borough and Dillingham Census area by the Chamai Community Health Center in Naknek. According to the clinic's announcement, two of the cases are out-of-state residents that were identified at the clinic's walk-up testing site in the borough. The other case was identified in a processing plant the clinic provides testing to, but which is considered part of the Dillingham Census area. The two cases in the borough are both tied to the seafood industry. One case is an independent fisherman, and the other is a seafood worker worker who does not work in a processing plant, according to Chamai. The case in the Dillingham census area was identified by the processor's Community and Workforce Protection Plan, which includes testing. All three individuals were in quarantine when they tested positive. They are asymptomatic and are now in isolation. The clinic and state health officials are monitoring their status and conducting community contact tracing investigations. There are now 12 cases of COVID-19 tied to the Bristol Bay region. China has stopped imports from European salmon suppliers due to fears of a connection between salmon imports and coronavirus, according to a report by Reuters. State-run newspapers in China reported the coronavirus was discovered on chopping boards used for imported salmon at a market in Beijing. The initial cluster of infections came from the same market, and some fear the discovery of the virus there indicates a second wave of the coronavirus in China. Several fisheries organizations are pushing back against those reports. The National Fisheries Institute compiled statements on Tuesday from health professionals and agencies like the World Health Organization and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, saying there is no connection between seafood and COVID-19. Fish marketing experts are assessing how the rumors could affect Alaska salmon's image in the world. If people think eating salmon could put them at risk, at increased risk of contracting the virus, even if that information is incorrect, that could harm markets. Here's Andy Wink, Executive Director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association.
Anytime there's information or misinformation, you know, we have to wait and see to what extent consumers respond to that.
China made up roughly 6% of the market for Bristol Bay sockeye in 2019. While that's not a huge customer base, Wink says it's still important, especially in terms of the potential growth it represents.
You know, I think we'll have to wait and see to what extent this, you know, if this impacts market demand outside of China, and, you know, if it impacts consumer demand in other markets, in the U.S. and Europe and Japan, where we have a much larger market share and, you know, many more consumers. So we'll have to wait and see on that part of it.
Wink says that if necessary, BBRSDA will work with other marketing groups to distribute accurate information to consumers. In an email, Ashley Heimbigner, communications director with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, pointed out that multiple agencies have said that there is no link between seafood, food, or food packaging and transmission of coronavirus. She also said Chinese officials issued a statement yesterday confirming that there was no evidence that salmon was the host or a carrier of COVID-19. Quote, "While there was an immediate negative reaction in the imported salmon supply chain, a short-term correction is expected following this official statement," unquote. She said that Alaska's largest challenge with the Chinese market continues to be the 32-40% final tariffs on most seafood, including salmon, when it's imported into China for domestic consumption. Kings are running later than expected this season. Many nets from Kanakanak Beach to the Wood River have been coming out with little to no fish. That's not normally the case. By mid-June, there are usually at least a few kings in the nets, and we have been hearing reports today that people are starting to see those kings. Here's Tim Sands, area management biologist for the West Side.
Yes, it has been very slow for kings this year. And although this morning, apparently, there was some subsistence catch of kings and other fish, you know, sockeye and chum as well. But I'm particularly concerned about and watching the kings right now. So the fact that there was some king catch this morning is a positive. But in general, we're well behind where we would normally be, I think, as far as people catching kings.
Although some people on Kanakanak Beach did say they've caught kings at their sites, others hoping for Chinook were not as lucky. Windy conditions continue, though, and everyone hopes today's tides will continue to bring fish into the nets. Sands says it's too early to tell what a late run might mean for the rest of the season.
There's no commercial fishing yet, so we can't talk about the commercial harvest at all. The subsistence harvest, again, we're well behind, really behind every year I've ever seen. I mean, I think at this point, there might be a year or two where I haven't caught a king yet at this point, and I've been out three times so far this year. So we're definitely behind where we want to be and where we usually are both on our escapement. That's the main metric that we use, is the escapement up on the Nooshiegak.
For more perspective on subsistence, I caught up with KDLG's Brian Benoit earlier today. Hey, Brian.
How's it going?
So subsistence reports have been a little slow heading into the middle of the month. I know a lot of people have set their nets out on Kanakanak Beach, but there hasn't been too much activity there. How has it been for you and your family?
Yeah, we've had our net out about every tide for the last 2 weeks, and we only got our first king yesterday. We've gotten a few reds and dogs here and there, but just this morning I checked it with my dad and we had 6 kings and 4 reds. So we've been talking to a couple folks just as we drive by, and they've gotten a few too. So it's slow this year, but they're definitely coming.
We've seen some huge runs in the past couple years. How does this June compare to what you've seen in the past?
Yeah, I was talking to my mom the other day, actually, and we were looking at pictures on Facebook and noticed that the kings, they're definitely a little bit later than usual, at least for us.
Okay, got it. So fishing and subsistence in 2018, say, when we had this enormous push of sockeye, I know king runs have been relatively low, but did you guys see a lot more fish earlier in the season, or what was that like?
Yeah, the kings were definitely running a little bit earlier and a little bit bigger, too. I noticed that some of the kings we just caught this morning were a little bit smaller than what we're used to, but it's still early in the season, so my hopes are still a little high. We'll just see when they're coming in.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for chatting, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
This summer, we're checking in weekly with Rick Toman for a new segment we are calling Weather Wednesday. Toman is a climate specialist with the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy at the University of Fairbanks. We've seen some clouds today, but it's been generally pretty sunny in the first half of this month. Is that expected to continue?
So we do have something of a change in the weather pattern coming up, say, over the next week. For the Bristol Bay region, it's been generally warmer than normal and a fair bit of sunshine. However, over the next week, we do look to have low pressure will be setting up over the North Pacific, kind of south of Kodiak Island, and it'll be a relatively cloudy and cool air mass. So look for less sunshine than we've had, and temperatures will tail off a bit. Certainly nothing exceedingly cold, of course, for this time of year. But on the other hand, we do not see any extreme heat as we saw periodically last summer.
Right. That is a change from last summer. So that low pressure air mass coming in, you mentioned it was going to be a little bit cooler. Are there any other, like, you know, things that really stood out to you about this spring and how it might impact water levels, water temperature? I know that we had more snow this winter than we definitely had last year, but, you know, the water levels aren't super high. I was kind of curious about that as well.
Of course, after extremely cold early part of winter, spring wound up being above normal across southwest Alaska. Interestingly enough, though, of course, we had more sea ice in the Bering Sea and Bristol Bay than last winter, and there was an area of that ice kind of offshore Togiak area that actually was surprisingly long-lived. And so one of the things that's really different this year than last year, ocean temperatures in Bristol Bay are significantly cooler than last year. Now, it's still above the long-term normal near the coast. The uppermost Bristol Bay is warmer than normal, but there's actually an area kind of from about Egigik down to Port Hyden on the Bristol Bay side of the peninsula that water temperatures are actually near or even very slightly cooler than normal right now. Not dramatically different from normal, but that is a huge change from last year, when by this time in June, water temperatures were just cooking across Bristol Bay.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I remember that last summer. It was just really, really hot. Do you expect those conditions to continue? You mentioned, you know, a cooler air mass coming. Do you think that water temperatures might stay lower this summer?
At this point, it certainly looks like that we are not going to have a repeat of the exceptionally warm ocean surface temperatures that we saw in 2019. Now, it is warmer than normal over most of the southern Bering Sea, so we're not likely to go into a cold water pattern, but the atmospheric conditions at this point certainly don't support lots of sunshine, high air temperatures that would allow those ocean temperatures to warm up really dramatically.
Rick Thoman, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this week.
Happy to chat, Izzy.
And you can tune in every Wednesday on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report to hear weather updates around Bristol Bay from Rick. The Dillingham City Council passed an emergency ordinance last night to change the mandatory quarantine requirements for people coming to Dillingham from outside of the region. The change allows people quarantining for 14 days in Dillingham to leave the community prior to those 14 days if they have completed a COVID-19 test in Dillingham. The 14-day quarantine is still mandatory through August 8th. People still have to get a test on day 13 of quarantine before they can leave. The City Council also passed a resolution to expedite the purchase of a new ambulance for the fire department. The resolution waives the normal permitting process for purchasing the equipment in favor of having the ambulance in town before the last barge of the year. If the resolution had not passed, the city would have had to wait until next spring to get the ambulance. The summer is a busy time for Alaska Air in Bristol Bay as thousands of outside workers and fishermen fly to the region for the season. But this year, flight cancellations and a lack of communication have created confusion for people traveling to the bay as they try to balance local quarantine requirements with the time-sensitive season. KDLG's Sage Smiley has more.
When Raven Penn Air filed for bankruptcy in early April, rural communities across Alaska were left with cuts in service. Bristol Bay was left with no commercial service at all. Alaska Air normally starts flying to the region June 1st, but this spring it began on May 18th. It's aiming for year-round service to the region. But the airline has struggled to regulate its schedule. I experienced this myself. When I was making plans to come to Dillingham, I booked a flight from Portland to Anchorage and then on to Dillingham June 2nd. But about a week before my trip, I got an email saying that my flight was now headed from Portland to Seattle, Seattle to Anchorage, with no flight to Dillingham. When I called Alaska Airlines about my missing flight to Dillingham, the customer service representative told me that it looked like even-day flights to Dillingham had been canceled for a couple of weeks. I wasn't alone. Around when my flights were changed, fishermen and locals started posting about canceled and rerouted flights on social media. Greg Marksmiller, a Dillingham fisherman, says flights he had purchased for his crew members were pushed back twice. He wasn't notified either time.
I just heard rumors and I went to check my accounts and they'd been changed.
In a normal year, delayed and canceled flights are frustrating. But during a pandemic, when the state and communities are requiring travel permits or two-week quarantines, the last-minute changes mean tighter schedules for pre-season fishing preparation.
The idea would be that they'd be finished with quarantine by now and that we could be doing work, you know, going and getting things and stuff like that, and that's just not going to happen. Just more delivery, things like that, and having other people help us out.
Greg Marksmiller says the delays changed his preseason. Things are okay, he says, but not ideal, and they're needing to get help from friends to get everything together on time. Jamie O'Connor is Dillingham's public information officer and also set nets in Ekuk. This spring, she had multiple flights bumped. Alaska Air representatives told her there hadn't been any schedule changes, adding to the confusion. O'Connor ended up traveling to the Bay almost a week later than she had planned.
We're trying to find the best schedule to meet demand, and we're still working through that.
That's Alaska Air spokesperson Tim Thompson.
We loaded a schedule based on historically what we've traditionally flown. With the loss of another air carrier in there, we actually enhanced the schedule and brought in more capacity to meet the anticipated demand. That demand did not show. So in order to right-size the amount of aircraft that we're flying in, we had to make some adjustments to the schedule.
Thompson apologized for the disrupted travel plans, saying that Alaska Air's goal is to provide year-round service to the Bay, and that they're still working out what that schedule will look like.
Right now, the fall and winter schedule are just very fluid.
According to Alaska Air's online scheduler, both the Anchorage to Dillingham and Anchorage to King Salmon route started running at least once a day June 10th. In Dillingham, I'm Sage Smiley.
Now for a look at the halibut fishery. The fleet of 13 Bristol Bay boats have landed over 35,000 pounds so far this season. That's a little over half of the 4E quota of 59,400. The fishery got off to a late start this year. It opened at the end of May, which is almost a month later than normal. Tony Zock is a regional fisheries coordinator for the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, which runs the community development quota program for the halibut fishery.
I should say the halibut fishery got started a little late this year due to COVID-19.
Jennifer Scarata and Opie Hilly fish for halibut from Constantine all the way to the Quijack. Hilly says the market hasn't been great, but local demand is high, and they also sold some fish to Silver Bay Seafoods. This season, Hilly says COVID-19 preparations took extra planning, but it wasn't too inconvenient.
It's not a big deal, and we all get together in the galley, we all have our own thermometers, and we take our temperatures, and it does give you a little peace of mind. It's given us a lot of time to visit.
Lots of quality time.
Right, and you know, I like to visit.
Safety precautions weren't the only complications heading into the season for them, though.
Everybody had a hard time getting bait over in Togiak, so we were over there for about a week trying to get bait, and we ended up, us and one of the other boats, we ended up buying bait from Icicle, from the big boat over there in Togiak off the processor. So we had to buy our bait this year, and it's kind of been slow to start.
And in normal years, you wouldn't buy bait?
No, normally we go over, we get a bait permit, and we go over and catch all the herring we want.
Dan Pock is from Manicotic. He's been fishing for halibut for 30 years, and he said at the beginning of the season, he tried to offload his catch at the dock in Naknek, but couldn't because of the Bristol Bay Borough's restrictions related to COVID-19. The port was closed to the public.
You have to drive like 2 hours all the way up to Kingfamily. And that's a lot of fuel. We're burning a lot of fuel.
Direct marketers normally have to sell right off their vessel, but with the port of Bristol Bay close to the public, that wasn't possible this year. According to Tony Zock with BBEDC, the DEC was able to issue an exemption for fishermen to sell to the public on the port's property. As the last half of June approaches, most of the fleet are winding down in the halibut fishery and gearing up for salmon.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
That's just about it for tonight's show. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay. Tonight, an east wind at 30 knots, seas at 6 feet, and there is a small craft advisory. And on Thursday, an east wind at 25 knots, seas at 6 feet. Thursday night, east wind at 25 knots, diminishing to 15 knots after midnight, seas at 4 feet. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, a small craft advisory there as well, a northeast wind at 30 knots, seas at 6 feet. Thursday, a northeast wind at 20 knots, except for an east wind at 30 knots from Port Muller East, seas at 7 feet. And Thursday night, a northeast wind at 25 knots and seas at 6 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, low tide this evening at 7:47 p.m. at 2 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, low tide at 8:26 p.m. at 0.4 feet. And at the Igigig River entrance, low tide at 6:47 p.m. at 0.5 feet. We have our first messages to the fleet today. This one's from the Enter family. Hello, this is Moses, Genesis, Eden, Ezekiel, Eve, and Obadiah Enter. We would like to say hi to our dad, who is fishing up there on Shamu for Phil Zander. Our dad is Abraham Enter, and this is his sixth season fishing. He is from Kimberley, Wyoming. We would like to say thank you to the guys on the boat for working together to keep each other safe and have a great season. Thank you, the Enter family. And this message is to Glenn on the fishing vessel Intimidator from Jenny. Jenny says, my husband Glenn is on the fishing vessel Intimidator. Please tell him happy Father's Day from his wonderful wife, Jenny. Love and miss you so much. Be safe. Again, just a reminder, this week we have the fish report on Friday, and we'll have our numbers reports on the weekend. If you'd like to get in touch or give some perspective, give us a call at 842-2200. You can also send an email to fish@kdlg.org. If you'd like to get a message out to the fleet on this show, perhaps to say hi from back home or wish them luck, send your messages to the fleet to fish@kdlg.org. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We appreciate it. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here on Friday.